a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Never seen the sky so blue. The birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, hey,
hey, hey, hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny day.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos, Ton Bettis with you this morning. We'll be taking your phone calls at 801-575-8255. You can also text us your questions at 57500. Ton, the days are getting shorter.
They are. It's.
I know this happens every year.
Yeah.
But it's so hard for me because I love it when the sun is up at 6 o'clock and I'm up bright and early, and now it's coming up about 6:35 or something. And
you know, I drive in from South Utah County, and so it's an hour and 10 minutes or so to get up here. And it's getting that time of year again that it's you're barely seeing the sunrise. And you know, by October, I'll be getting up in the dark to drive in here. And so for me, it's kind of depressing.
Yeah, a little bit for me, too. I love summer. Even though by about this point in time, my petunias are starting to look a little scary, but I'm still just not ready to give up those longer days. However, we have had some of the most incredible sunsets over the past couple
yes.
of days.
Yeah, they've been spectacular. The monsoonal moisture with the clouds, maybe just a little bit, not that it's a good thing of smoke from fires. Makes that, but they've been gorgeous.
They have been gorgeous. This morning, we wanted to start out with the plant of the week, the coneflower, which is one of my favorites, even though it's one of those that just doesn't last forever in your yard.
No, they don't. The coneflowers are, there's several species native to North America, and the particular one, purple coneflower, is a Midwestern native into the Atlantic states and the upper South, Georgia, Alabama, those areas. Mm-hmm. So it's been touted as a drought-tolerant plant. And in those areas, it is because it survives off rainwater. But here in the West, it is still relatively drought-tolerant, but it needs watered probably deeply at least once a week.
Mm-hmm.
So about half what you do your lawn. And the advantage to it is that it gets these tall purple flowers,
they're
or pinkish
beautiful.
Purple.
They are beautiful.
And they're gorgeous in late July through August. And they're just, they're among the most popular landscape perennials because they're easy to grow and they're quite pretty.
Okay, but they only last a couple of years, right?
They do.
Either that or I'm doing something terribly wrong in my
they,
yard.
You know, 3 to 5 years is usually usable life for them. We'll talk about these next week, but the black-eyed Susans, mm-hmm. especially if you get a variety called Goldstorm or Goldstorm, will last a lot longer. But the purple coneflowers aren't super long-lived.
Yeah, I've noticed that I had them planted strategically in my front flower beds, and I'm going to need to replant those.
Yeah, they do need to be replanted more often. Now, I do want to mention the article we're posting is from Missouri Botanical Gardens, and they focus on Midwestern natives because that's where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing they don't mention here, there's been a lot of breeding with coneflowers, and so now you have white ones and red ones and darker, you know, red. There's so many colors out there, and they don't last more than that 3 to 5 years. But, you can do a lot of variation, plant a lot of variation in these, and they're just really pretty.
Yeah, I have a white one. I think I had another color, but it's gone now. But yeah, the purple seem to be a little more prolific, but yeah, the white ones are gorgeous as well.
They are. Some of these newer varieties remind me a little bit of Gerbera daisies. I don't know if you're familiar with those, with the colors available, but they're a late summer bloomer. And so they're good to mix in with things. I think they work well with the yellow of black-eyed Susans, or right now you've got Crocosmia that are blooming, gladiolas, anything along those lines, I think that they mix quite well with.
Right. The other thing I've noticed in people's yards, which is totally off topic, are those beautiful salad plate hibiscus.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. They are in full bloom right now, and they make these gorgeous pink flowers. And I still don't have one of those in my yard. I keep thinking every year I'm going to buy one. But by the time I go to buy them, they're gone.
They are. And that's one of those plants that if we could make it the plant of the week every week, I probably would. We're going to talk about a hibiscus again.
So gorgeous. Oh, I know.
Yes, the topic of the hour, more hibiscus.
Yeah. And sorry.
I like them so much. And they're so easy to grow. You know, I've already... I think this year twice as a plant of the week. And so I
kind of you had to kind of stay away from that now, even though they're in full bloom.
They are, but they are gorgeous, and they will live anywhere from 10 to 50 years, depending on the particular type. And they are one that are just really low maintenance. The newer varieties stay more compact. Now, you'll see right now the red type seems to be the red leaf type seem to be all that the type of hibiscus everybody wants. And these newer varieties stay down to about 3 by 3 feet, which seems big until you realize 25 or 30 years ago, most of them got 6 feet tall and you had to stake them. And they only bloom for 2 to 3 weeks. And the newer varieties will bloom from late July until late September.
Yeah, they are absolutely gorgeous. One final question about the coneflower before we move on. It's pretty easy to grow, but what kind of soil does it like most?
As long as it's well-drained and not super salty, you know, even clay loams and, you know, silt, whatever it is, they seem to grow really well unless they have permanently wet feet.
Okay. And again, as you mentioned, there is an article now up on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. Anything else that you wanted to add before we moved on?
No, I think that covers it. They're usually widely available throughout the season. You can get them from late May through September. They're a staple in local garden centers because they are so easy to grow.
Yeah, I noticed even the box stores still have bunch of those coneflowers. I mainly saw purple, but I wasn't really shopping for coneflowers, but I noticed they have a bunch of them.
You know, sometimes if you're wanting the reds and the different newer colors, you need to go to local garden centers because they oftentimes will cost $4 or $5 more than the purple coneflower. Home Depot or Lowe's or whatever it is may not carry them until the price comes down and they can price them the same as all the other perennials.
Yeah, and go to your local garden centers. In my area now, Tom, there are so few compared to what there were in the past.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to have a variety about, I'm going to say, at least 6 local nurseries that I could go to. And now I think I'm down to 2.
The competition from box stores has really put the hurt on a lot of garden centers. I can't say that they're spending less time in the yard. They're not, but a lot of our best known garden centers, as the owners became senior citizens, you know, the kids didn't want to take over, or there was just too much competition, and we're losing them. It's nationally a trend that I don't like, but we are losing garden centers.
It's so sad. I mean, you used to be able to. I don't know. I'm trying to remember all the names. We had big Wasatch Shadows in our neighborhood and just a bunch of them. And that's where you could go and get the expertise. And not only that, get more unusual things than you find in a box store. Because the box stores carry pretty much things that do really well and are really popular right now.
Or they are really popular outside of Utah and don't do really well
here. Oh, that's true. But you don't have an expert to tell you.
You've got, you know, Smith's Marketplace seems to be an exception because they're plant buyers have been trained locally, but with the exception of Smith's Marketplace,
Home Depot, who, you know,
yeah, and Home Depot buys locally too, but I'm more talking like the tree and shrub mix.
Oh, right.
And so a lot of times those are regional, and what Portland, Oregon gets, so do we. And so there's a lot of times there's a disconnect because our plant mix here is a little more limited and different than what you would plant outside of the Great Basin area.
Right. Okay, number to call with your questions. We'll be taking your questions now. Phone lines are open, 801-575-8255. You can also text us your questions at 57500.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria Chaleos, Ton Bettis with you this morning. Phone lines are open, 801-575-8255. You can text us your questions at 57500. Last weekend, I was down in Vernal, Ton, and I was starting to tell you the story, and I'm posting some pictures. But the towns around Vernal, I don't know who has convinced them, but they have planted these gorgeous planters all through their towns with calibrachoas. I mean, just these gorgeous petunias. And they have a truck that goes around and waters and fertilizes these planters every single day. It has a big arm that goes out. And I actually stopped and talked to the woman. I'm like, wow, do you do this every day? She goes, oh, yes. And it has fertilizer and pesticide. And, you know, we water them every single morning. And I was amazed just how gorgeous, huge planters.
It's been a couple of years since I've been out there, but I know what you're talking about. And I'm trying to remember the name of the company. Several years ago when Larry and Tim were doing the show, there was a company that started these, and they, I think, actually purchased airtime and maybe even some remotes to advertise them. And they're still really huge in the Uinta Basin. But I remember Larry interviewing the founder of the company.
Well, in Holiday City has tried to do something similar, but theirs all are on a drip system. And to me, what was so amazing about this is just the number they had, the number of streets that they had included in this.
Yeah, they give you a little bit of a European garden feel.
It's really beautiful. It reminded me of Ireland.
Yeah.
Because in Ireland, they have planters everywhere. And of course, they don't need drip systems because they get water every single day, right?
Yeah. You know, we're talking about garden centers on the break and how it's unfortunate that some of them, just for whatever economic reasons, pressure from development, are not there anymore. And yesterday I had to go down to Sevier County area into Marysville Junction. And the route I took was through Gunnison and Salina. And I didn't have time to stop, but I noticed that there was quite a sizable garden center down there in those two little towns. And it was, I'm going to have to make a trip back down there just to check it out. But it's fun to go through those areas because I know over in the Uinta Basin that there's quite a few neat garden centers over there too that specialize in all sorts of different things. And it's kind of a plant nerd thing, but when you're traveling around the region,
I always make it a point.
If I've got an hour, that's the first thing I'm going to check out in the town is a garden center.
But my problem with that is I can't usually at that point bring something back.
No.
And that's really too heartbreaking. So I'm not like you. I don't go in and check them out when I can't buy anything. Okay, so first texter of the morning has been waiting quite some time. They texted us at 7:11. So they say they have trees planted in the last few years that have branches with 1 to 3, they're 1 to 3 feet off the ground. Should they generally trim those off? And what is a good height? And this is Jason and Layton asking.
It depends on the purpose. You know, if these are conifers and they're planted in their own area away from grass, leave them alone. But if they're near the lawn or in the lawn, you are going to need to limb them up so that you can walk under them for mowing. And so you don't do that all at once, but as the trees grow, you just take a little bit off from the bottom every year until you get it to the height you need it.
Next listener says their gold spot euonymus has scale. How can they treat it without impacting the bees?
Evening spraying or early morning spraying with horticultural soap or horticultural oil would do it, and that's going to be the safest way. But because the euonymus are not in bloom, they only bloom for a week or two out of the year. What they would do longer term, if it's still a problem, is wait till they're done blooming and then do a soil drench with imidacloprid. And
oh, how do you spell that?
Imidacloprid.
Imidacloprid.
I've always wondered if there could be like a
Saturday morning nightmare for me to pronounce.
Yeah, so I've always had this dream of doing like a horticultural spelling bee to where you had to spell pesticides.
Or even some of the plant names, yes. The Latin names.
Yes. So
actually, that would be fun.
Yeah. So
maybe
if you're
in the middle of winter.
Yeah. I would lose.
We'll do that. Oh. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, that's, you'd need to do a soil drench after they're done blooming. Mm-hmm. And because that stays internal and you've got an entire season, there's no harm done to the bees. And so for now, a soap or oil in the spring after they're done blooming, a soil drench.
Okay, next listener. How do they get rid of morning glory from out of their strawberry bed? This one's a hard one.
It is. If you're harvesting, especially, you don't want to do a lot of spraying. But it's that we have our video up about controlling morning glory in a flower bed. It may be you have to do the same to where you gather the bindweed and stuff it into a gallon Ziploc still connected to the ground, put a hole in the bag and spray a little bit of Roundup into there to kind of coat the leaves, and then cover that bag up with a piece of cardboard or an old towel and let it sit for 24 hours and then just go out and clip it at the base and throw it away. And that'll give a lot of time for that herbicide to soak in to the roots. But that would be the only way I'd know to do it without taking the whole patch out. And you need to be super careful that you don't get any accidental exposure on the strawberries.
Yeah, quick plug for all the videos that we do. Some of them educational, some of them fun, you know, gardening videos like a fairy garden video. You can check those out on the KSL Greenhouse page on our YouTube channel, or you can check them out on our website, KSLNewsRadio.com/greenhouse, or you can find them on our Facebook page as well. And that's a really good one to look up on the bindweed, Ton, because it shows people exactly how to do it. It's a little more complicated to explain, but when you can see it, it's a little easier to understand. Next listener says, can they get seed pods from hibiscus in their neighborhood or from their neighborhood and try planting new plants next spring?
You can. If
you're
a hobbyist,
you will want to ask your neighbor first.
And it may take 2 to 3 years to get them up to size before they start blooming. And so I know back in the day, before we had garden centers and things, that's what you had to do. But if you have the time and someplace to, it's just, there's a lot that goes into this. You don't just plant the seeds on the ground. And, you know, there's a lot of newer hybrid hibiscus also that the seeds may not be viable because they could have genetics from 2 or 3 different species in them. And so, yes, probably, but maybe not. And then you need to get the experience and knowledge on how to do it, because it isn't just like popping some seeds into the ground and letting them grow. Because they're perennial, they are going to take a lot longer before they're plantable outside.
Okay. She would also, this is Sherry in North Ogden. She would also like to know, if she does decide to do that, how would she store the pods over the winter?
They don't. And this is honestly one that's blindsided me. If I would have looked at the text a little earlier, I could have maybe looked it up. But what they're going to have to do is just look up online germinating perennial hibiscus seed. There are several books out there about how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But this is one
you haven't
that...
germinated hibiscus
no,
seed?
No, I haven't. Because most of are hybrid and they're done from cuttings.
Right.
And so when you do the seed, you're probably going to get the old-fashioned, tall, lanky hibiscus back. And so this is one that I would just purchase. But if you want to, there's going to be protocols and there's plant propagation books that you can look at.
Okay. Next listener says, their volunteer pumpkins are turning orange. Is it okay to pick them?
I would leave them on the vine if they're still healthy, if you can. You generally can start picking those sometime in mid-September, and they'll store for a good 30 to 45 days. It's a little early, but leave them on the plant if they can.
Next listener has a tomato question. They have a tomato plant. Should be an early girl, but it has little brown dots all through the skin, just the outer skin when you open it. Do they just need to take the plant out?
It's stink bugs, most likely. Oh. Stink bug strikes. And
that's a new one for me.
Yeah, I've seen a few posts this week on people. They'll have these little spots all over the tomato, and they cut them open, and there's a little bit of a, I won't call it leathery, but a hard spot around it. And it's if they're just on some fruit more than others, and it's probably stink bug.
What do they do about that?
Well, I hate to spray them, but stink bugs are attracted to weeds initially in the spring, and they'll feed on the weeds. And when the weeds dry out, they move into your garden. And so it's imperative, you know, one thing about keeping a clean garden is it actually reduces the stink bug population in your yard, and it reduces the number of strikes you get on fruit and some of your vegetables.
Mm-hmm. So they don't need to take the plant out, though.
No, I would, you know, without pictures, it's hard to say. But I would bet that it's stink bugs, and they could cut around it.
Okay. We're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. Number for you to call, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.